The derecho is not descending on Fargo, but yes, there will be weather tonight somewhere and not far from the metro area. The storylines are not all the same in downtown Fargo, but things at closing time still appear to be relatively dicey, as evidenced by weekend events. And the THC gummies are not going away. In fact, they're about to become store shelf products across North Dakota. Good afternoon, my friend. Good to be with you here on this Monday afternoon. Another beautiful summer day here in the Valley. It's July 28th, 2025, and the Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy. And I'm still back here every weekday afternoon from 4 to 6 to remind you of that, the insanity that has taken over much of Minnesota. Thankfully, not all of it. Well, as you can tell, we are off and running here on this Monday with a lot of interesting things to talk about. We will have a plethora of guests on the program today as well. We're going to talk to Cindy at Travel Travel. She's got another tropical destination to tell us about. I was watching a ball game with a buddy of mine yesterday, and he says to me, I was saying that Tracy and I are going to go do a little leaf excursion, the fall colors out in Vermont in October. Very excited about that. He says, did you book it through that travel agent woman you have on every Monday who has all these phenomenal vacations? I said, actually, we did not on this one. This was a pretty easy sort of construct for yours truly. But I said, it wouldn't have been a bad idea to see if Cindy and the team at Travel Travel could have put something together. They probably have some kind of fall leaf touring tours going on in October, but for sure they've got a tropical getaway to tell us about today. Just when it starts to get gross weather out here coming up later this year, you'll have an opportunity to get away. So we'll talk about that. Andy Westby will be here from Goldmark Commercial Real Estate. Every quarter they put out a report on what's happening in commercial real estate, which sounds really boring. I get it off the top. But when you talk about commercial real estate, we're really talking about who's adding on to their business, what buildings are sitting empty, all of this reshoring of manufacturing and industry. How's that affecting things? How about the politics of tariffs? So there's a lot of stuff that rolls into it. Nobody's better than Andy. He's going to stop by and give us some of the highlights from their quarter two report over there at Goldmark. Scott Hennon will be with us in the 5 o'clock hour. And before we finish up, James McCarty, our sports director, will be in as well. Each day this week, I'm very excited to do this. As you know, I'm a sports nut. I've been a Vikings fan since I can remember. And I'm not saying this is going to be the year, but I am very intrigued with this team this year. And I'm not the only one who thinks that they might have a chance to surprise. They're predicted to get 8.5 wins this year in Vegas. I think that number is a little low. They've got a brand new quarterback, and he is a huge wild card. I get it. But everything else around him looks pretty good, and the defense might be better than I thought, at least if you go by some rankings. So we'll talk about that. Skol storylines today. Skol is kind of the Vikings rally cry, if you're not familiar. And we're going to do that each day this week here on the program. Take out 5 minutes or so and talk a little football. Brought to you by Balance CPA, North Dakota State Services, and ATI Diesel. So we'll do that here on the program today. I want to let you know that if you really dig the purple, you can tune in on Thursday night at our sister station, WDAY, 6:30 to 8. I'll be hosting a Vikings season preview special, the Purple and Gold Report, as we get ready to rock and roll a new season of NFL football. So we have some guests that know a lot about the team, a lot about the players, a lot about the franchise, the season, the opponents, other teams in the NFC, what's going on in the AFC, and we'll do some predictions for where the Viking season might end and who might make it back to the Super Bowl. So all that coming up Thursday night over on WDAY Radio. All right, so we got a lot of stuff to get to here. Plus, Florida continues to be the freest state in the country, and they're about to widen their gap between Florida and every other state in the country. A Second Amendment tax holiday. Oh, Ron DeSantis, the guy just hits home run after home run, unless he's running for president, then it doesn't go so well. But a big fan of Governor DeSantis, and the guy continues to be amazing. All right, so let's get going here with a 4 o'clock wrap, semi-automatic storylines going rapid fire to catch you up on a busy and eventful Monday afternoon. We start with the almanac for this day, July 28th, the year of our Lord 2025. Average high for this day, 83. Average low, 59. Record high, 110 back in 1917. Where do you suppose the global boiling people would be if we hit 110 degrees today? But we did it more than 100 years ago, and somehow we're all still standing after that catastrophic global warming event of 1917. Record low 44 back in 2013. Sunrise this morning will be, or was, at 6:02. Sunset will be at 9:03. We got about another 3 or 4 days and then sunset before 9 o'clock. So yes, we are getting into the dog days of summer. No question about that. In the markets today, S&P 500 and NASDAQ both record high closes today. NASDAQ up 70 points, S&P 500 up about 2, which is not much, but it did need to be to set an all-time record because Friday's close was an all-time high. Dow Jones Industrial Average close to it, but down today at 64 points. I really thought there would be a big rally today after the EU trade deal over the weekend, but I guess the market had already priced it in. So that was a surprise to me. We'll talk a little bit more about that as the show goes on. WTI crude oil up today at $1.82. You remember, if you heard about that over the weekend, that they're going to commit to buying, what, $300 billion worth of U.S. energy. So that could jump everything up a little bit. It did today. In oil prices, up about 3%. Gold today down $21 an ounce at $3,314. Silver down 4 cents an ounce at $38.33. And Bitcoin today pretty much unchanged, $118,000. AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide is $3.14. That's down a penny from Friday. North Dakota is $2.90. South Dakota $2.97. Minnesota $2.98. And diesel fuel today down a cent at $3.73. In the news today, I'm going to start out with a little bit of weather, actually, in the news rundown here. Late last week, Dean Wysocki, our chief meteorologist, was telling us, watch out because Monday night could get really interesting. Another derecho event with nasty winds. However, it looks like the slot for that has moved a little bit further south. If you're in eastern South Dakota, tonight could be a very, very interesting night for you. And I know we have a number of listeners down there. But even though we have a slight risk here in the Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo area, you might down by Breckenridge, Wahpeton, might be an interesting night. Hankinson down there. And if you get really at all into South Dakota, that's where it looks like that storm path might go. Derecho is that big wind event that could be doing a little reprise here tonight. So we will see what happens. But we could get a little weather here in the metro, but nothing too crazy from the looks of things. WDAY Radio with a story from downtown Fargo. A man who police say had multiple weapons in his possession was arrested after cutting somebody's arm with a knife in an altercation outside the old Broadway. This happened shortly after 2 a.m., and officers were told that a suspect related to a disturbance was coming toward them. They detained the suspect, placed him into handcuffs. His name is Dominic Long. They found throwing stars, a pair of brass knuckles, and a knife as well. He was placed under arrest. This was a closing time over the weekend. I think there's two different stories with downtown. You go downtown. Between 1 and 2 a.m. on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, early morning, I guess, what we're talking about there. And that's one thing. You go to any big downtown area, and you're going to find all kinds of stuff. The other kind of situation, what's happening at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday night? And that's what I have been most concerned about. I think I've told you before from my recent trip downtown, it felt a little different. Did not see as much as I had seen before. Felt very calm to me, so one good outing there. But just a reminder, closing time is still closing time. Fargo police say a theft was attempted on ATM at a Fargo bank. Valley News Live with this story. It happened in the 4900 block of 13th Avenue South yesterday at 7:20 in the morning. The thief tried to hook an ATM to the back of their vehicle with a chain. It didn't work, but the ATM got damaged. This is kind of over by Texas Roadhouse, and the only bank that I can find over there on the map is Capital Credit Union, so it might have been them. NewsDakota.com reminds us, that's the good folks at KOVC Radio. We like to give a shout-out to good local radio news departments when they do good work. They remind us that edibles will be available for you to buy, the THC gummies and things like that, in North Dakota starting August 1. The state will allow the production and sale of low-dose edible cannabis products in the form of soft lozenges, that's gummies, or hard lozenges there. So I don't remember hearing about that, to be honest with you, in last session, but there you go. The Forum reports that a Virginia-based company, speaking of weed stories, recently bought the former Burger King in North Moorhead and is looking to turn it into a cannabis dispensary. They have filed paperwork with the city of Moorhead and have been granted a conditional use permit from the city for a cannabis micro business. So now they got to get their license from the state of Minnesota. We'll see how that goes. The Bismarck Tribune reports that the wheat crop in North Dakota, it should be a pretty solid crop, but projects lower yields than a year ago. The Wheat Quality Council Tour projects an average yield of 49 bushels an acre, down from about 55 bushels last year. Dave Green, one of the tour organizers for the Wheat Quality Council, said the yield projections didn't quite live up to his expectations. He said, I thought it looked a little better than that, but I guess it's going to turn out not to be. A couple state fair stories for you. They set an attendance record in Minot over the weekend that was impacted even by some bad weather. They ended up with 356,552 people, up 4% from last year's total. They announced that country singer Zach Top will be the headliner for the 2026 fair. I've not heard of Zach Top, but then I'm not a big country guy. And you probably heard that Luke Bryan got hit in the head with a ball, got thrown on stage by somebody. They still have not made any arrests, but the police say that nobody filed a complaint, so they have not really opened up a criminal investigation on the matter. And one more here for you. Mayo Clinic is collaborating with NVIDIA to launch the first supercomputer in a hospital setting that will use AI technology to shorten the diagnosis time and hasten the treatment of deadly diseases. Isn't this interesting? It's the first time AI chip maker NVIDIA's technology will be used in this way in healthcare on a large scale. So they're going to build AI models in pathology that will help them diagnose and understand diseases. Mayo did not share the system's cost, but I bet it's north of $20. And those, friends, are some of the stories that are making headlines here on this Monday afternoon. We call it the 4 o'clock wrap. When we return on the Steve Hallstrom Show, it's a little bit of chaos, but not panic everywhere in North Dakota with the 3% cap on property tax increases. In Horace, they're feeling okay about things. We'll talk about it next. Every Monday at this time, we get to get excited about hopping on a plane and going somewhere fun, thanks to our friend Cindy at Travel Travel. Hey, Cindy, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Tell us where we're going here in November, just as the weather starts to turn a little wintry. You've got a great idea for us.
I do. It'll be great during that time, November. So we got a 7-night, all-inclusive, going to the Riviera Maya, airfare from Fargo, round trip transfers from the hotel to the airport, a junior suite.
Ooh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's per person. It's $1,520 per person.
Another fantastic deal. $3,000 and two people going for a week to Riviera Maya in November. Fantastic. What else do we need to know?
You know what? It's all inclusive. Everything's there for you.
Yeah.
So it's just basically getting yourself to the airport here in Fargo.
That's about it. Pack a swimsuit. That's about all you need down there. A junior suite even. So upgraded accommodations at the Barcelo Maya Palace I'm seeing on the website here. And this is great. I mean, yeah. You can go on this little trip, come back in time for Thanksgiving, and still have all the holidays to look forward to. And, hey, you can't argue with basically $3,000 a person. And it's airfare out of Fargo. All inclusive means you get a great place to stay, all the food as well. Should be a really, really great time. Cindy, how do people find out more or sign up with you?
Give us a call at 701-492-5000.
492-5000, 492-5000. So, Cindy, you didn't hear this because I said it before we went to commercial break a few minutes ago, but a buddy of mine, I was watching a baseball game with him over the weekend, and I was telling him about a place I was going in October out to Vermont, and he said, did you go through Travel, the place that has all those great deals? I said, no, I didn't on this one. Maybe I should have called Cindy. But you're getting a reputation out there as the lady who has all these great trips for not a whole lot of money. So you're doing something right.
All right. Well, thank you.
You bet. Sounds good. Cindy, thanks a lot for taking the time. And again, if you want to get a hold of the Travel team, you go to TravelTravelGroup.com or 492-5000. Cindy, have a great rest of the day.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Yeah, take care. Okay. 427, Steve Holsham Show. Twins made a trade today. The trade deadline is 4 days away still on the 31st. It wasn't a big trade today, but they got rid of two starting pitchers. And they traded them to Detroit within the division, which is kind of weird. They got back a catching prospect. The pitchers were Chris Paddock and Randy Dobnak. I mean, neither of them had great records this year. Paddock was 3-8, had an earned run average of about 5, which means he's going to give up 5 runs a game. That's not great. I mean, it's just kind of a guy. And Randy Dobnak, he is in AAA, so he's a minor leaguer. And I was like, oh, I don't know. The catcher is like the 17th best prospect in the Tigers farm system. My guess is the Tigers are just looking for a couple of long reliever guys, just bodies they can have around. Maybe that gives them some help there. I don't know. And I'm like, okay, what? I wonder what the Twins get out of this. And then, of course, I learned this at the end. The Twins, quote, I'm reading from the Star Tribune article here. The Twins saved about $3.5 million in Monday's trade. That's just the Twins. They are running that thing on the cheap. They don't want to spend money. They need new owners. That's the Twins. Make a deal. And who cares about the players? We can save $3.5 million. So there you go on that. All right, I want to talk for a minute about the 3% cap that came out of Kelly Armstrong's plan to reshape property taxes. So most homeowners are going to get about $1,500, $1,600 this year instead of the $500 in past years. And in return for that, the governor and the legislature, then they all signed off on this, that municipalities cannot raise their taxes more than 3% in a year. And, of course, the people in Fargo, city commission, most of them, we're like, oh, yeah, 3%. Oh, we can't get by just 3% or whatever. So in Fargo, they don't like it. They're all in a huff about this. And the sky is falling. Okay. How are we going to do this? And of course, in Fargo, we just love to spend the taxpayers' money. But I was interested to see a couple of stories today that give us the perspective of some other places where the sky is not falling. Minot Mayor Mark Janser said staying within the 3% cap, he told this to the Bismarck Tribune, has the city's department looking for ways to be more efficient. He says, change is never easy. Kind of shakes people up a little bit, but the sky isn't falling and we're heading in the right direction. So no panic there. Grand Forks Mayor Brandon Bochensky said a 3% cap on raising property taxes is reasonable and worth residents having more money to spend in the community. He said the only thing we're really adjusting is building up a reserve to lean on, so that's going to be a little bit of a challenge. No problem there. Dickinson City Commissioner Jason Friedrich said if oil prices keep declining, oil money dries up. That could change, but for now, I don't see us pulling back on any projects or services. And then I saw today the forum had a story as well, and in Horace, they say it's not going to really bother us too much yet either. So where's the panic other than the city of Fargo where they're just addicted to spending money? This is difficult for Fargo. In fairness to Horace, they have so much growth out there that they're going to keep bringing in more money just because of the growth. And there will be a time down the line it'll be a little harder for them too. But I just thought it was funny at a point when Fargo, all you hear is like, oh, how are we? Even Dave Pepcorn, our guy Dave Pepcorn, who's usually pretty solid on the financial stuff, is complaining about this. So I don't know, you guys. Seems like everybody else can figure this out, City of Fargo. So we hope you'll be able to do the same thing. All right, let's get to our bottom of the hour update here. We got a check of news, weather coming up. We're going to have Andy Westby from Goldmark Commercial in as well. So lots to do here over the next few minutes. We're going to start by heading down the hall and checking in with our news team for headlines of the day. All right, well, when we want to know what's shaking on the commercial real estate side of things, we call Andy Westby, our guy from Goldmark Commercial, and he's been good enough to stop in today. He's the president and managing broker at Goldmark Commercial Real Estate. Every quarter, he puts out a report about what's happening, and I dig into that thing because I always find it very interesting, and he's here to talk about who's doing what, what's sitting empty, and where do we go from here. Andy, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Steve.
All right, so last time I visited with you, you gave us kind of the summary of what was happening after quarter one, and at that point, we're just kind of starting to get wind of some of the tariff things that were going on, and we just said we don't really know what that's going to mean yet, and is it all negotiating, or what's going on there? So I'll let you kind of rock and roll with some of your key findings here from quarter two, and as we finish the first half of the year, what do we need to know about commercial real estate in the community here?
Yeah, happy to dive in. So our report covers office, retail, and industrial. Those are the three major kind of asset classes within commercial real estate. And then one thing we added this quarter that we had never reported on before, at least publicly, is permit and sales data. So now we're looking at kind of the full spectrum of what's happening in leasing markets, sales markets, and the permit data for new construction. Mm-hmm. So I'll try to touch on maybe points within each one of those areas. So from an office perspective, tariffs and some of those things haven't really impacted office. It's still the pandemic, work from home, hybrid schedules, people trying to figure out how to get by with less space than what they maybe had before. And so we still see those impacts continuing on. We are at 11.4% vacancy in the metro, which is knocking on the door of our high point. So in our data, we show a high of about 11.7% back in Q1 of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
We're climbing back up to near where that was. Some of that is in thanks to some pretty big spaces coming on the market, and Microsoft Campus is the most notable.
Yes, there's a lot of room there now.
Yeah, I work on the forum. About two of the three buildings are now on the market for lease, so over 200,000 feet in two buildings. There's not a lot of users that can fill that to begin with. And so those buildings, you know, there'll be some challenges, but also some opportunities for some companies to possibly, you know, take advantage of a beautiful
without setting. That, if you take that out of the equation, like how much of that does that contribute to the 11.4?
So we finished Q2 just under 1.5 million square feet available. So 200,000 on 1.5 million.
One-seventh or whatever that comes to. Yep, so 15%-ish, something like that. Right. Okay, interesting. Yep.
But, you know, still technically on a national level, we're sitting better than most. So national vacancies are still in that 19 to 20%.
Yeah, they're about 20%. Yeah. I think I saw that too. Yeah.
So we shouldn't be concerned at nationally. It's on the local level, we're reaching, you know, some higher points.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much the activity has gone down in terms of businesses leasing. It's the how much are they leasing? That average lease size continues to shrink.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw about 1,800 square feet per lease last quarter. And that number continues to just shrink. We're seeing smaller and smaller leases that are getting done. And then the other concerning thing that we see on the office side is Class A space, which is typically your nicer, newer, you know, along major roads, multi-story type of buildings. Class A had been doing very well across the country and locally. We're starting to see weakness in Class A as well.
Okay.
So it's really slowing kind of across the board, not just in the older buildings, but we're even seeing that Class A product now take longer and sit, you know, a bit longer on.
So Andy, if I try to assess all that, you're telling me that there's still a lot of activity and we still see the entrepreneurs are still here and there's still people who've done really, really good over the last 5-10 years. But they're requiring or they're choosing to go with less commercial real estate to do it. How does that sort of reconcile itself? Like what is happening that allows both things to be true at the same time?
I certainly a lot of it is this remote or hybrid work model that a lot of employers have adopted, where people might be coming into the office 2-3 days a week. Mm-hmm. When they come, they probably don't have a dedicated space. They maybe have an area where they can kind of set their bag down and do their work. But the next time they come in, they maybe go to a different spot.
Okay.
So having dedicated spaces.
That's still a lot of it then, the work from home thing.
That is still, we believe it has to be, because if the number of leases getting done has been pretty consistent quarter to quarter, but the total amount of square footage leased is getting less and less, it's just smaller leases.
Must be.
Smaller spaces getting
smaller
leased.
Smaller spaces. Because nobody's ever really built like office space that just has a lot of open floor space just for no good reason, right? I mean, we've always been pretty smart about how we build our commercial space here in this area. It's interesting you say that, because there have been a couple of big, just TD Bank the other day came out and said, everybody back into the office, 3M yep. down the Twin Cities, yep. everybody back. So like nationally, it seems like there's more of a push to get people back into the office. Maybe here we're just seeing better productivity from people being at home and it's okay.
Yeah, and I think there's a mix. We know of companies who have mandated that return. Now, they probably never gave up space. They probably kept the square
That's
footage
true.
They've got.
Yeah.
And so those companies who have stayed with that as their leases are expiring on generally 5-year terms is pretty standard in office. Those are the companies that are out there leasing space again and maybe taking less this time around, right? But from a permit and a sales perspective, those are also down. So permits are down about 48% across the metro. We're seeing a little bit of activity with some banks and some daycare activity. So those are some things that are keeping permit activity up, but down year over year. And then sales have also been down about 44% year over year. So office, it's still trying to find its footing, trying to find its maybe level. But there are some positives. I mean, the total number of transactions year over year through H1 is up 12%. Total square footage in H1 is up just a little bit.
What's H1?
The first half.
First six months
of the year.
Yep,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, my apologies. But what we really need to see to start seeing a dent in these numbers is bigger spaces getting leased. Bigger companies either moving here or deciding, hey, we're going to expand our footprint,
yep.
not shrink our footprint. That's what we need to start to see here.
Okay. So you gave a couple of statistics there I thought were really interesting. The you said the sales were down like 44% year over year,
yep.
and
yep.
the permits were down 48% year over year. Those are big numbers, Andy.
They are. They're sizable numbers just to help illustrate that this is a market, office market, that is slowed.
Yeah.
There's less people building office, there's less people buying office, and there's less people leasing office right now.
And that's year over year. So is that like the second quarter of 2024 versus second quarter
yep.
of 2020?
Okay. Those numbers I gave you would be the first half of 24 versus
yep.
the first half of 25.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Very interesting. Interest rates probably don't help any of this, right?
That hurts all of the asset classes, right? So tariffs, I said, doesn't really affect office, but interest rates affects all of the classes,
mm-hmm.
right? Office, retail, industrial. And with interest rates continuing to remain relatively high compared to what we've been accustomed to, that is one of the factors that has some business owners with their foot on the brakes.
Yeah. Well, and it's been so stubborn, right? I mean,
yep.
interest rates will tick down a little bit and then back up they go.
Yep.
So that's really interesting. I've always thought, Andy, that a lot of the commercial development done here locally was by people that have been doing really well for years and they probably don't need financing. They're just going to do their own thing. But do you feel that most of the time there is still some financing that goes into these projects?
Most of the new development projects, almost always.
Almost always.
There's rarely just a straight cash play. And it's just, you know, their returns on a straight cash versus a leverage play are better. Right. So there's generally going.
I'm sorry, which is better?
Going in with financing,
yeah.
their leveraged returns will be better than unleveraged returns. And,
oh, okay.
And they'll come out, you know, with a better financial picture depending on what those interest rates are.
Yeah.
And where we're seeing is, you know, with interest rates having climbed, with construction costs having climbed.
Yes.
A lot of them can't get the rents to make that financial, you know, equation work.
That
and
makes
so
sense.
We're going to build less
yeah.
unless the rents go and go high. But when you're sitting at 11% vacant office, there's a lot of options out there.
Yep. You
and
know,
so
I have to build. Yeah.
If we were at a low, maybe 4 or 5% vacancy, we might see more of that development because maybe pricing could be a bit more elastic.
Yeah. How are we doing for real estate? Like, is there land available if you want to build something within the foot, somewhat of the footprint of the metro? Yep. Is there something out there?
Absolutely. I mean, there's still land, you know, urban plains area, for example. There's land on 52nd Avenue that we're seeing, you know, developed and broken up. We will start to see more land in that area, 64th Avenue, where the interchange is going to be going in. That'll be an area around the Sanford, you know, Fargo Park District project. There are ample areas for you know, additional commercial development in Fargo. West Fargo's nearly out of commercial land.
They are.
Very little land.
Okay.
Moorhead has some, but the demand isn't as high in Moorhead.
Yeah. Is that true? I've always wondered about that.
Certainly.
Why is that, do you think?
You know, it's hard to say there's just one reason, but from the market's perspective, there is always a significantly higher demand on the North Dakota side than the Minnesota side.
Cost of doing business, right? I mean, if we're honest about it, not being political about it, but it's just true.
It is. That certainly weighs into it. And, you know, if they're a Minnesota business already, they want to be in Moorhead.
Yeah, right.
If they're not in Minnesota or North Dakota and they're evaluating the two, most of the time that it does fall on North Dakota side.
So if we've got 11% plus vacancy rates now, what is that doing to rents? If I want to go rent some office space, I'm guessing now is a pretty good time to go looking if I need to do some, right?
It is, in terms of number of options. Now, pricing has, owners are kind of holding the line on pricing. In fact, we've seen prices are up about 1.5% year over year.
Okay.
So owners are kind of holding the line on pricing. What they're having to do is give you more free rent periods, maybe more money to help fit that office up and make it nicer. Owners don't want to go backwards on rents because then the value of their building goes backwards.
I see.
So they're trying to keep those income streams, you know, higher to support, you know, better valuations on the
property.
Very
interesting. Yeah. I want to ask you about downtown Fargo too. It's in the news all the time for a number of different reasons. I was talking about actually earlier here, my wife and I went downtown for dinner not too long ago on a Friday, and I had a great time and didn't get hassled by anybody. It was a nice time down there. We enjoyed it. I did notice there were a few spots that were open. There have been some businesses that have moved out of downtown Fargo. What's the overall state of affairs in downtown Fargo right now?
Yeah, so office downtown Fargo has actually improved. Vacancy about a year ago was 13%. It's down to about 10% now.
Okay, so we're going the right way.
And it's been thanks to a couple things. One, some of the office inventory, like the Black Building, was converted to condos. So they said, hey, we can't lease this as office right now. We're going to flip it. So it removed some inventory and went into residential condos. There's also been some leasing activity, some nice space taken in the RDO Tower recently. JLG has taken up residency there and took some space. And so we've seen, you know, a positive movement in terms of vacancies there. Retail, it's climbing. So right now, downtown Fargo is at 16% vacancy, and we hadn't got to retail yet, but that's the highest in the metro. And we're just seeing, you know, some retailers having a tough time paying the higher rents. Rents downtown, you know, in certain cases are higher than other areas, depending on the building and in this, you know, location. But there's been a little bit more work to do on the retail side downtown.
Okay, so the commercial side is going down in vacancy, but on the retail side, those storefronts, the ice cream shops and whatever, there's a little bit more space down there to be had. Boy, I tell you, I don't know, this doesn't have anything to do with our conversation, but I've gone to West Acres Mall a couple of times in the last month or so. That place is jammed full all the time. We've got a successful mall in this town.
We have a very successful mall, and they're doing the right things. They've got a great tenant mix. They clearly, you know, have done, I think, better than the majority of malls around the country for metros our size or even larger. We're lucky. West Acres Mall has been a great asset for this community, and they're managing it very well.
That Von Maur store has added something. It's really sparked that mall.
It's
big,
well,
first of all, but it's the right. I mean, it's you walk in and you're just like, okay, these people know how they're doing it there.
Yeah.
I've asked you so many questions. I don't want to get in the way of you giving us all your findings, though,
sure.
But thank you for indulging me with all my questions. What else do we need to know about the report?
Well, if I shift into retail real quick.
Yeah.
Retail, it's kind of been this just very steady, stable market, and Q2 was a lot the same. It was pretty slow in terms of leasing activity, but Q2 tends to be slow. Q3 from a retail is when we see the activity. Retailers want to get in before the holiday season.
Before the fall, yeah.
Right? And so this, we expect activity to pick up, but Q2 was quiet. There was only 8 leases we tracked in the market, about 18,000 square feet, which is about the lowest since 21-22. But like I say, we're expecting that to pick up. On the permit and sales side, both of those were actually up. in the first half of the year. Metro permits up 67% in the first half, thanks large in part to Quick Trip. You're going to start to see a lot of Quick Trips going up. So those have been permitting and starting construction. Slick City is another big permit that was pulled and is starting down at 52nd Avenue. And so those are some things that you'll see popping up. And then sales up about 9% year over year in the first half. So, some positive momentum on the sales side there. But retail, very stable. Vacancy rate in the metros is 4%. Very healthy.
4% on the retail side.
Yep,
so it's two different worlds then, the retail versus the commercial side. Different storylines.
Yeah, office has been struggling. And then when we get to industrial, I'll say relative to our market, industrial is slumping. So just compared to where Fargo was a year or 2 years ago, industrial is slumping. And I think most cities would take our slump in a heartbeat, because when I say slumping, we're 4.2% vacant right now in the market. And nationwide, it's probably double that in a lot of cities. But it's a shock, because inventory has gone up 55% since the start of the year. So we've seen a pretty big spike.
What's behind that, do you think?
Some of it we expected. So we knew there was going to be a few big buildings coming on the market, some new construction, some spec. But then there's some existing buildings that ended up vacating that we weren't expecting. And then leasing volume. So as new listing volume has gone up, leasing activity has gone down 65% year to date. So those are two things kind of causing now inventory to kind of spike. It was a slow quarter. We had only 17 industrial leases we tracked in the quarter, smaller leases. So, generally in industrial leasing, this is where you have big square footages.
Right? Yes.
You could lease, you might lease 1,500 square feet to a contractor, but you might lease 80,000 feet to a large company. To only have 72,000 feet leased in the quarters, that's low for our norm. And about 900,000 square feet came online last quarter.
Okay.
Or in the first half. So it's probably got some industrial owners sweating a little bit.
A little bit.
Because it's taking a little longer. These bigger spaces are sitting. Permits, however, jumped. Border States is building a huge new distribution center, which was a big get for the city of Fargo, that they were competing against other cities in the Midwest for that. And Border States decided to double down their investment here and build that. There's another spec building going up by Amazon as well. So even though inventory is climbing, there's still enough sentiment that this market's strong and will continue to be strong. So we're still seeing development.
I got about 30 seconds left, Andy. Anything else we need to know?
I'll just say that we've got a lot of information that we can't fit into these reports. And so anybody who's ever interested in a submarket or specific sizes of buildings, anything, you name it, we're happy to share data anytime. They can find us on our website at goldmarkcommercial.com or email us at commercialinfo@goldmark.com.
commercialinfo@goldmark.com. Very good. Andy, thanks for stopping in. Appreciate you giving us a few minutes here today.
You bet. Thanks,
Andy Westby, President Managing Broker at Goldmark Commercial Real Estate. Well, they ripped Trump for playing golf on a Sunday. Then they found out he signed a massive trade deal on the back nine. How did all this happen over the weekend? We'll talk about it next. Social media was full of people catcalling Donald Trump over the weekend for playing golf on the company dime. It was a Sunday. I guess a guy should be able to enjoy playing golf at his own golf club on a Sunday, but you know how these people are. And, they raised a fair point. Why do you have to fly to Europe to play golf? And it's, the tax money you're paying. And it's crazy because the Democrats did not care at all how many trips Joe Biden and Kamala Harris made anywhere. But now that it's Trump doing it, of course, we shouldn't be doing these things. Well, then we found out, basically, during his round of golf yesterday, that he had gotten a deal done with the European Union. And the numbers behind this thing are crazy. The EU is going to pay a 15% tariff on exports to the U.S. while charging us nothing going there and promising to buy hundreds of billions of dollars of U.S. defense products and U.S. energy. And before that, we had none of these things. One of the guys I follow on social media said, does Trump have like naked pictures of these people or what? Because this is a deal that makes you go, oh my word. And what happens in the end is that the president of the EU, Ursula von der Leyen, says, quote, I want to thank President Trump personally for his personal commitment and leadership to achieve this breakthrough. He's a tough negotiator, but he's also a deal maker. It's like punching somebody in the face and they say, thank you. And the commentary is just priceless here. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said, when's the last time we saw a president working trade deals on a Sunday? When's the last time you saw Joe Biden doing anything on a Sunday? He keeps getting away with it. 15 to 20% tariffs with zero retaliation and forced purchases of energy and military equipment. And altogether, you take a look at this thing and it says the experts were wrong once again. Hour two of the show coming up next.
We lead the 5 o'clock hour today with a little weather news for you. National Weather Service has a severe thunderstorm warning called for Richland, North Dakota. Came in at about 4:58, but in effect until 6:26. That's a long thunderstorm warning. So a little bit of weather. Dino is telling you it's going to pop south of town here tonight. I don't know that they expected maybe quite that far north. So maybe things will get interesting before it's all said and done. It is Monday afternoon, and that means a chance to talk to our buddy Scott Hennin from the What's On Your Mind program, recapping some of the headlines and looking forward to the things that come next. Good afternoon, Scotty. How are you, brother?
I'm doing well on this Monday. Thank you.
Yeah, very good. You are sending your girls back to New York City here this week. I've been thinking about you guys. That's no fun.
Yeah, one is back there already. We left on Saturday morning, and then our youngest is headed out there for a new opportunity starting August 1st. So she leaves on Wednesday, actually.
Yeah. And the girls will be in like three blocks away from each other.
That's kind of cool.
Oh, great.
It gives us a little comfort there that the sisters will be close to each other. But and we love New York City. So instead of visiting Arizona during the college years, now we'll head east.
I'd go there while you can.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't know if Mom Donnie gets in there.
Not thrilled that the Democratic nominee is a whack job, that's for sure.
Well, we have till at least the end of the year, so there you go. Speaking of big cities, how are signups going for your D.C. Christmas trip?
Very well, actually. We had a few left, a few out of Bismarck, a few out of Fargo, but we started early this season just because Washington hasn't been a regular destination for us. We were there once during the Trump years and now again, but last time I checked, we were down to a handful from both places, so... Mm. Excited that people are signing up as early as they are and ready to join us in D.C.
Yeah, very good.
We got a good lineup.
I want to ask you a little bit about, here's my question for you about this EU trade deal. As I dig into it, it's a bunch of haymakers here where none of these things were in effect before, and now there's like four or five major pieces that come together looking really good for the country, and obviously by extension, really good for President Trump and his ability to get deals done here. And these deals not only don't seem to be creating mass inflation, but they seem to be forcing every country around the world to invest billions of dollars in America. Do you think the average American, though, understands what's happening and can grasp what the impact of that's going to be to the country?
Well, I think it's a matter of time, right? You hear about the deal, you get excited about the deal. I mean, depending on the industry you're in, you say, wow, good, that's more job security for me. So I think sector by sector, there's some recognition of that. I just think the totality of these trade deals begins to make a difference. I mean, look at your 401k. The markets are at all-time high, looking really good there. So I think you see that. I think the real effect of the new tax policy, these trade deals, are going to be something that you're going to have a longer term ROI on these things. So I don't think the average American probably is going, oh, that impacts me today, but it's going to at some point. And meanwhile, I'd tell you this, last number I saw, Wall Street Journal poll, Democrats had the lowest rating from voters in 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever they're selling isn't exactly sticking.
Well, they're not selling anything. That's the problem.
Well, other than doom and gloom and everything's
terrible.
And I hate
Trump,
Trump derangement syndrome and everything else. So,
did you see the numbers by Pew Research last week that came out where they talked about 12 to 28-year-old, the Gen Z or whatever, and how male versus female support one party or the other. The male number was Republicans plus 18. It was like 51 to 33 or something. But on the female side, it was Democrats by 21 or something. Just very, very different numbers between male and female. You have any theories as to why that is? Why would males be so much more drawn to Republicans than females, and then vice versa for the Democrats and women?
Yeah, I don't know. I see that the Democrats have this effort now on teaching their candidates how to talk to men. It's like, wow. You'd think that it started that a little bit sooner.
Well, they hired Tim Walz to try to be the VP to cater to men, and he came out looking like he was ready to head to the Pride Festival with 10 Red Bulls in him or something.
Wacky cheerleader on the sidelines, you know, the one, never mind. I don't get me going on Tim Walz. What a piece of work. I would say this. I think some of the numbers, if you look into it, that led to the massive win by Donald Trump was more women voting for him than any Republican candidate in a long time. And some of that, especially on the younger voter side, which bodes well for the future. So I do think if you are susceptible to personalities rather than policy, that, you know, the average red-blooded male out there say, go for it, Trump. Whereas, you know, the moms out there might go, ooh, he's a little rough. But again, the pocketbooks, the price of groceries, how much gas cost, you know, but a lot of moms out there that are watching that family budget closely. So stay tuned on those numbers.
Trump has now been in office for 6 months and 6 days, basically, here. And it just occurs to me, I'm one who doesn't like to get into this is the greatest ever, whatever. I try to be careful on things like that. But, Scott, the number of wins and how good Trump seems to be this second time around at getting things done so quickly. A Financial Times quoted one ambassador in the EU who was unnamed, but they gave the quote of, Trump worked out exactly where our pain threshold is. And the Financial Times lead into that said there's no hiding the fact that the EU was rolled over by the Trump juggernaut. Trump worked out exactly where our pain threshold is. He's really good at this.
Oh, my gosh, he's the ultimate deal maker. And I think this time, don't forget, we now know a lot about the shenanigans, and that's being kind, the corruption that was being forced on Donald Trump and his campaign before he even was in president, right? So late in 2016, before he's president, they are literally cooking the books on intelligence.
Yeah.
And it continued into the first term. And then remember the whole Mueller investigation. That essentially shut down 2 years of the 4 years of the first Trump term. And then you had COVID. So I just think we're in a very different time. I think he's got a better team. I think all of the corruption has been routed out. So we can't underestimate the difference that makes this time around, too.
Yeah,
and obviously, it's his last term. It's the last. So you're
big or go home.
Right. You're moving with great purpose. And I think the blessing in him losing in 2020 is that they had 4 years to say, we're going to win, and here's how we're going to win, and here's what we're going to do when we win. So a lot of this policy is being rolled out. Brooke Rollins, I think, of a lot as the Ag Secretary. Nobody would have had her on the bingo card for Ag Secretary, but she was the America First CEO in those 4 years that was leading all this policy effort. So, I mean, I don't know if you follow her at all, but every day there's something new that comes out of the Ag Department that is just leaning in to these things. I see Lee Zeldin tomorrow. EPA administrator is going to announce the repeal of the endangerment finding. That was the whole deal of cooking the books on science to say CO2 is this ginormous threat and the oceans will be boiling soon. They're repealing it. I mean, every cabinet member is just out there throwing haymakers and winning.
They are. Yeah, I don't know what things are going to look like in 4 years. Well, what do we have? 3.5 more years. But, I mean, we're halfway through the first quarter of the game right now,
right,
and we're seeing all these things happen. I want to read to you something that I saw that was written by Dan Bongino over the weekend. You might probably have seen this.
I did. So, little bit cryptic, but
Scott, I have nightmares right now, and I have no idea what he's talking about. The part that I was intrigued by is the spot. He says, "During my tenure here as the deputy director of the FBI, I've repeatedly relayed to you that things are happening that might not be immediately visible, but they're happening. The director and I are committed to stamping out public corruption, the political weaponization of both law enforcement and intelligence operations. It's a priority for us. But what I have learned in the course of our properly predicated and necessary investigations in these aforementioned matters has shocked me down to my core. We cannot run a republic like this. I'll never be the same after learning what I have learned. And I'll skip a little bit. I cannot predict where it will land, but I can promise you an honest and dignified effort at truth. Not my truth or your truth, but the truth. God bless America and all those who defend her respectfully. Dan, oh my gosh, Scotty, what do you think he's talking about?
The deep state, the evil corruption. That
you don't think it's like the Epstein thing or what? You think it's just the whole
much
thing?
Bigger, okay. Much bigger. And there are some intel reports specifically to that on the Epstein thing that some people see him slow walking. Others have said, guess what? They are pulling so many strings that are so much bigger than the Epstein thing. And I think that's what he's talking about. I mean, when he talks about, I'll never be the same. What he's,
yeah.
Dan Bongino's a former Secret Service agent. He's not a wallflower.
Yeah, right.
He's not some wussy in there going, oh, clutching my pearls. He's seen a lot. He knows a lot. So I think that's very telling. Doesn't surprise me at all, honestly. And that's the beauty of getting people in there that are fearless, because they're going to take this on.
Shock me down to my core. I'll never be the same after learning what I've learned. I don't know. Dan Bongino, I mean, he's right. He's got a little bit of entertainer to him. We know that. He's been a media personality, but I don't know. When I read that, I'm like, oh my gosh, what did he just stumble upon? Maybe it is the whole deep state thing. I don't know.
Well, he has.
But we got to get to the whatever he's talking about. We better get to the bottom of it.
Yeah,
my gosh,
he doesn't post a lot now. And obviously he works for Cash Patel, so I imagine he's being a little bit careful there, but he's a very eloquent spokesperson. And if you've seen the 3-4 posts that he's done when various things have come up about how hard they're working and what they're doing, it's very telling. So this one's obviously a bombshell, because you can't help but go, holy buckets, what is he seeing? But I don't think he's sharing that to not at one point reveal it.
Last thing before I let you go, you been downtown recently for like an evening or go get ice cream or anything?
Yeah, yeah, not long ago.
Do you get a sense things are changing a little bit down there?
I do, and I think there's always been a wrestling match between perception and reality downtown, but I do. Yeah, I think that, and you know, I was in Grand Forks the other night, and I was actually over in Moorhead last night, and we went to the Moorhead DQ after Mass. That's such a great DQ.
No, that's the real deal.
They
yeah.
still have the crunch on the, you know, the little crunch dip that they can do on the cones. Mm. Not a lot of Dairy Queens have that anymore. Do you remember that as a kid?
I don't.
Don't you? The crunch on the cones? The crunch crumbles? Oh, my. Anyway.
Apparently got a better DQ in Montevideo than we had in Mora.
It's kind of back to the throwback. Anyway, we were there standing in line, and some very deranged individual came up and started screaming and hollering and pounding a sign. What I'm getting at, same thing with Grand Forks, there's an element of that, that is just reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's less of it here than there is in the Twin Cities or other places, but I think downtown Fargo gets the rap as the only place that it happens. So, but I do sense that that things are, I think the attention that has been put on, you know, this issue has helped. And so I think they are turning a corner. You had a great conversation on the show recently about this. It was very interesting to hear different perspectives on.
Yeah, that was before we went down there. And then later on, I said, all you people that called and told me it's feeling different down there, I would agree with you based on what we saw that night. I don't know. The only policy change is the camping ordinance, right? I mean, all the other social programs and the homeless shelters, all that is the same. It's just that one particular change that they made to policy. Do you suppose that's the entire?
No, I think law enforcement is doing a lot more. I mean, there's been enough noise that I think they're doing a better job of policing what's going on. So I think the lion's share of the credit probably goes to enhanced enforcement by the Fargo PD.
Okay, so there's more cops, more beats on the downtown area.
And, you know, there's been a lot of you know, concern.
Oh, yeah.
It's been, I mean, Michelle Turnberg's been a force on the Fargo City Commission on this point. Dave Pepcorn has for a while as well. The mayor talks a lot about it. The police chief does. So I think it's getting more attention, and that's appropriate. Level investment down there is amazing. There's a few too many vacancy signs right now, and I do believe that's been part of some of the challenges that are there. So
yeah.
There's work to be done to keep this momentum going.
Yeah. Well, let's hope it does. Downtown Fargo has the potential to be a really, really cool vibe.
You bet.
And there was a story over the weekend, some guy at closing time. I almost feel like these crimes at closing time at 2 in the morning, that's almost a separate category. I think you're going to have that anytime, anywhere, when you have that much activity and people have been well lubricated at that time.
But, and there's a concentration of bars down there, too.
Yes,
so
there is.
You get more of that.
Yeah, and look, that's going to be a thing. But I want to be able to take my wife down there at 7 o'clock on a Thursday night and be able to go out and get ice cream with my daughter or whatever. And maybe we're going to be able to do more of that, since it feels like that worm's turning just a little bit.
Yeah.
Scotty, thanks for stopping by.
You got it, sir.
The one and only Scott Hannon, host of the What's On Your Mind program. You hear him each day from 8:30 to 11 right here on The Flag. All right, when we return on the Steve Alstrom Show, top five at 5:25 today, Horace says that 3% thing, that cap, no big deal for us. I'll tell you why coming up next. All right, let's rock and roll with the top five at five. The five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. They are brought to you by Nancy Kelly Realty. Go online to nancykellyrealty.com and find out more about Colfax Meadows, where small town living is still a thing. Story number one, the discussion has been happening all across the state about what happens now with municipalities that the state has approved a payment of real estate taxes for single family and residential homeowners. But part of the deal is that cities and counties, municipalities cannot raise your taxes by more than 3% in a given year. Well, there's been a lot of consternation about that within the city of Fargo. But Horace says right now, not much of a deal for us. Why is that? Well, they say that their property tax cap won't greatly move anywhere because the explosive population jumps continue to help generate tax revenue. They also get revenue streams like sales tax and fees. This is coming from a forum story here today. And the city administrator for Horace is a gentleman named Brenton Holper. And he said, I am concerned for smaller cities and counties across the state. I am concerned they'll get hit sooner than we do. He says, when we get to later years, that's where it's going to start hurting us. When growth slows down, that's where it will create a pinch point, which, to be fair, in Fargo is exactly what they are seeing right now. Story number two, I will call the day in weed, if you will. And KOVC Radio reminds us that THC gummies and edibles will be available in North Dakota starting August 1st, they will allow the production and sale of low-dose edible cannabis products. Over in Moorhead, a Virginia-based company has bought the former Burger King in North Moorhead, and they want to turn it into a cannabis dispensary. Paperwork has been filed, reports the forum, with the city of Moorhead for a company that has been granted a provisional use permit from the city for a cannabis micro-business. They have to get approval from the state of Minnesota as well. But it looks like the writer of the story says that because they have gotten the use from the city, it probably means they've already got the preliminary state approval as well. So we'll see what happens there. But THC, marijuana, it is all becoming more prevalent in that story number two here today. Story number three, we like to talk about Make America Healthy Again on this program. And whenever technology and health come together, that's kind of two-for-one story, if you will. And the Rochester-based Mayo Clinic, reports the Star Tribune, is using AI technology to fuel a big project that might help with diagnostics and taking care of patients a little bit better. The Mayo has teamed up with NVIDIA. They are one of the companies that makes these high-end semiconductors, or chips as they are called, and they say that this is going to change or transform how medicine is practiced. That's according to Jim Rogers, the CEO of Mayo Clinic Digital Pathology. NVIDIA is the world's largest company, or the most valuable company anyway, and they believe this new AI technology will shorten diagnosis time and hasten treatment of deadly diseases. So this AI stuff is more than just about replacing humans, I guess. It might help the humans that are here live a little longer. The Bismarck Tribune has story number four that I put in here because with all the talk about crops and weather and all of that, interesting to see that the Wheat Quality Council Tour in North Dakota projects an average yield of 49 bushels an acre this year, but that's down from last year when the yield was about 55 bushels. The organizers of the tour for the Wheat Quality Council say, to the eye, things look pretty good. But as we got into the samples, it doesn't look like things are going to be quite as good. But nonetheless, 49 is considered a decent wheat crop. So that's story number four. And story number five, the North Dakota State Fair had a record turnout for attendance this year. 356,552 people came to the fair, and that's up 4% from last year. Why is this in the rundown? I think it tells us a couple of things. We know from what we've heard, Red River Valley Fair, North Dakota State Fair, Moondance Jam over by Walker, we've heard more and more that people want to get together post-COVID like they never have before. The problem is they just don't have a lot of spending money to do it. The high-end concert tickets, more difficult to sell. But provide a free or low-cost event where people can come to gather, make their own choices about what they spend once they get in the gates. Those events seem to be doing very well. We saw the Red River Valley Fair had, I'm trying to remember now, I want to say they had a record or second best or something like that, but very good turnout. And North Dakota State Fair reporting the same thing. So the moral of this story, people want to get together. People want to socialize. We definitely know that, but they are just watching their pennies very carefully. And with the State Fair, yes, you had to pay to get in. But the overall cost, again, and not too much when you consider all the many things you could do and see. And then you could decide how much you want to eat, how much concert you want to take in, and all of those things. So another big gathering showing very good attendance numbers here in 2025. And those, friends, are what I believe to be the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. We call it the Top 5 at 5. When we return, we're going to talk a little Vikings, Skol storylines. We'll kick it off this week. We're going to do a little bit each day. James McCarty, our sports director, will join us here as well as we continue on the Steve Alstrom Show. Well, the Minnesota Vikings had their first weekend of practices. They've now been in training camp since middle part of last week, and James McCarty, our sports director, had the opportunity to go down there and catch a little bit of training camp over the weekend. And he joins us here this afternoon on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. James, good afternoon to you, my friend. It was a little toasty down there like it was here in the Valley over the weekend. But how did things go for you down at training camp this past weekend?
Hey, yeah, everything was really good. It was warm. It was a little sticky. The humidity definitely got the best of me, but that's all right. That's what we have AC for in vehicles and buildings nowadays. But yeah, helping to send me down with Jiffy Lube of Fargo, three locally owned and operated convenient locations, Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can do more in a jiffy. And yeah, it was a weekend that we saw guys put on pads this afternoon, actually. So it was the first time they had full pads. So we saw a lot of walkthrough stuff. We saw a lot of the 7-on-7 type of stuff on Saturday. We saw some dummy drills with the defensive and offensive lines, but we just saw a lot of excitement from the players, from the fan bases, and it was really, really exciting just to get back out there on the gridiron for a couple of hours over the weekend and see some of the explosiveness of the offensive line that's starting to come together, of J.J. McCarthy now being the guy that's leading this team at quarterback, and the unfortunate hiccup that we have with Justin Jefferson tweaking his hamstring. So he was not participating Saturday. He was not a participant in practice today, but he was jogging around a little bit in his shorts, and he just had a jersey on. He was wearing a bit of a compression sleeve on that left leg. So something that looks as though they had a crisis that was averted with Jefferson, and they're just going to be nursing him back, making sure that the training staff gets him up to 100% before they throw a pair of shoulder pads on him. I wouldn't anticipate seeing him at all in the preseason games. But regardless, a really fun, exciting time, and it was great hearing that Skol chant hooting and hollering in 90-degree weather.
Yeah, I suppose the fans, they're excited no matter what, even on a hot afternoon there. I want to ask you a little bit about J.J. McCarthy and his role. If you look at this team top to bottom, the roster, you could find a position or two where maybe they have some question marks. But overall, if this quarterback can be even just decent, the Vikings have a chance to have a very good season. Now, it's impossible to draw any real conclusions from guys running around in shorts and T-shirts and, you know, throwing footballs around when the guys aren't even in full pads. But you can tell if a guy like has no clue what he's doing, has no idea where to throw the ball, he's confused by what the defense has given him. What did you see from him? Although these are very, very early observations, but did it look like he was decisive where he was going with the football, and did his accuracy look good when he threw it?
Yeah, definitely. And that's something that you try not to, you know, put too much stock into, as we had mentioned, knowing that they hadn't put on shoulder pads until about 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago here at this point. But of the four quarterbacks that the Vikings brought into camp, I would say McCarthy has looked the cleanest and most polished. And by that, I mean, it just seems as though his passes were a little bit more accurate. There was a little bit more flair when he got that foot coming out, or get football off that front foot. Just some different decisive things of that nature. I think he was hitting his receivers in really good spots. He's learning the art of, hey, I got to get some more air under the football in this spot. If I'm going to try and beat a defender, I got to get a little bit more juice on it, so a little bit more of a low line drive. So I think that's where his biggest area of improvement is going to be, is going to be figuring out what type of pass to throw when at this point. And of course, we never truly know how he's going to be processing a defense until you have a 300-pound tuna running right down his neck. Mm-hmm. And that won't be really, for the most part, up until that Monday night game on September 8th at Soldier Field in Chicago. But as of right now, it seems as though the progression is looking really good. The coaches have been very pleased with them. And in all honesty, you just look at the different pieces around him offensively. If they're healthy, that's going to help his progression a ton. You bring in three new offensive linemen, two that have spent the last half a decade with the Indianapolis Colts together. One's a first-round pick from Ohio State. Then you got your solidified tackles, even though Darisaw's coming off that torn ACL. Well, you know what? He's not on any injured list. He's not on the PUP list. He's not on the IR. So the anticipation, you would think that Adolfo Mensah, the GM, must be anticipating him playing in the first week or two of the season if he's not in that specific portion of a limitation. Additionally, you have experienced backs with Aaron Jones, with Ty Chandler, as you know, Justin Jefferson. You're still, you know, you're going to be without Jordan Addison for a little bit of time, but TJ Hawkinson's back from injury, and you're filling in pieces in those different respects there. CJ Ham's in year, what, number 10 of his career. So a lot of grizzled vets and a lot of guys that have played a lot of football, and a lot of guys that have been very successful at the NFL level, that's going to help J.J. McCarthy.
You talked about Jordan Addison, James, and for those who haven't followed this story, he had a I believe it was a DUI infraction, and because I think it's the second time he's had something like that, he's had a couple of run-ins with the law here early in his young life as a professional football player, and while he's not going to do any jail time with the court system, the NFL could suspend him for who knows what, one game, two, six, who knows, if they decide to make an example out of him. What have you heard in speculation on that? Because he's a very important piece for the Vikings as their number two receiver. Do we think he's going to get some kind of suspension, a small one, large one? What's the buzz down at training camp about that?
Yeah, from what I had been hearing, it seems as though there's going to be, you don't want to say slap on the wrist, that's probably not the right terminology of it, you're going to make a slight example of him. I've heard people speculating two, maybe three, but I don't think anybody really anticipates if he were to be suspended any more than three games. And the biggest question with that is then, when would they finalize that? Is this going to be in the next 2 weeks during preseason football? Is it going to be in October? Will it be after the season's even over? That's the biggest kind of question mark with it, because of how slow the proceedings have gone with all of this. When will that ding actually happen, and what control would the Vikings have or not have when it would be coming to when he would or would not serve that suspension, if it were to actually come to fruition.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, we'll see what happens. As someone who has had my life affected by a friend who died from a drunk driver, I love the Vikings, and I'm sure this Addison kid is a young guy who's learning his lessons, but I am one probably of the very few Vikings fans who hope that he gets a significant suspension just because I think these messages need to be sent, that these are not things that we want to mess around with, but that's my own personal opinion on that one there. James, I appreciate you joining us to give us some scoop on training camp, and we'll be visiting with you again here as the next few weeks go on so that we can keep updated with the big stories out of camp. Thanks again for taking a few minutes here today.
Definitely. We appreciate it. And once again, our training camp coverage brought to you by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, three locally owned and operated locations since 1979, and you never need an appointment. That's the greatest part about it. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can do more in a jiffy.
In a jiffy. Very good. Thank you, James. We appreciate you, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So I've got to finish this conversation by giving you my school storylines. This is part of a week-long festivity, I guess, leading up to our Thursday preseason NFL special on WDAY Radio, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And I want to thank some folks making this week possible. Balance CPA, more than just accountants. They're trusted business partners committed to your success. ND Estate Services, say goodbye to unnecessary taxes, avoid probate, and make sure your family's future is secure. ATI Diesel, your diesel truck experts. And Premier Building Systems, family-owned with years of experience. So each day this week, I'll be taking a couple minutes on the program to talk about one of the storylines I think is very interesting leading into the season for the Vikings. And this is my chance to play sports department every once in a while. It was my job for about a dozen years when I first moved to this town, and kind of fun to talk sports a little bit. I want to talk today about the Vikings defensive front seven. Warren Sharp is a football analyst. He's worked with some NFL teams in the past. He's a guy who's very well respected in the NFL game, does a lot of writing for different blogs and some gambling sites and things like that. He's an analyst. He's a data guy. He's a numbers guy. He's an info freak. And he has ranked the different position groups of all 32 teams in seven different categories. One of them, I saw his rankings for the 32 teams, and I just about fell off my chair, and that's today's school storyline, and that is the Minnesota Vikings front seven. The Minnesota Vikings, according to Warren Sharp, have the number one rated front seven in the entire NFL. Not the division, not the NFC, the entire NFL. And Sharp makes this comment about ranking the Vikings number one. He says, the biggest mover across our entire rankings was the Minnesota front seven, which jumped 24 spots to number one this year. The Vikings added both Jonathan Allen and Javon Hargrave to a defensive front that finished sixth in pressure rate and fourth in sacks last season. The Vikings run a 3-4 defense. So your defensive ends, linebackers, it's a little tough to know exactly what you have. So that's why Sharp and others call it the front seven, your linemen and then your linebackers. So the Vikings have, in the middle, a big nose tackle named Harrison Phillips. And he is solid, if not spectacular, but solid. On the outside, Jonathan Allen and Javon Hargrave are the defensive ends. And then at linebacker, you got Jonathan Grenard, who basically lines up as a defensive end most of the time. Andrew Van Ginkel, who does some of the time. And then the inside linebackers are Ivan Pace Jr. and Blake Cashman. Cashman came over from the Houston Texans last year, a native Minnesotan, had a very good year, was injured for a little bit, but came back, played very well. Ivan Pace, an undrafted free agent a couple of years ago, has found a very nice home with the Vikings. So those are your guys that are part of this whole thing. Now, the one guy that I have not mentioned is Dallas Turner, the first-round pick from last year. He is one of those outside linebackers, kind of like a Van Ginkel or a Jonathan Grenard. And early reports from training camp are that he looks very good, has put on some weight, and should be able to fill in and be a very important part of that whole system there. I don't know about Jonathan Allen and Javon Hargrave. Two of those three on the front line are free agents that came in this year. Both of them have had very good moments in the past. Allen probably more recently. Hargrave at one time was a very highly regarded player, but he has had a little bit of injury difficulty the last couple of years with the San Francisco 49ers. If Allen can continue to develop the way he did last year, and if Hargrave can return to something like what he was a couple, 3 years ago with the 49ers, the Vikings might have something there. Grenard and Van Ginkel are very good at outside linebacker. Pace and Cashman are solid, if not spectacular, at the inside linebacker positions. I would not rank the Vikings number one in the NFL from what I know. I do think they probably have a top 10 line, top five maybe, but that top spot to me is very interesting. Denver, Pittsburgh, the Giants, Houston, Cleveland, the Jets, the Eagles, they all have very good lines. And if Detroit can get Aiden Hutchinson back, they are in that mix as well. I do think this ranking is maybe a little bit more about most of the teams in the NFL. This is just not a strong spot across the league. And so the Vikings, by having a solid one, give themselves a chance to be a top five. Who knows? Maybe number one overall. I'm going to need to see a lot more than I've seen, however, which is nothing, about Allen and Hargrave to be able to know what we have there. But should be a very fun season, and the Vikings are absolutely capable of having a really, really good front seven and pass rush this year. We'll see how it plays out. And that is School Storylines for this Monday afternoon, brought to you by Balance CPA, ND Estate Services, ATI Diesel, and Premier Building Systems. When we come back, Florida continues to be the freedom capital of the United States. They're about to celebrate a Second Amendment tax holiday. How great is this? We'll tell you about it next. All right, what about the farm? You might forget that sometimes when you're talking about insurance coverage. But if you've got a farm where you've got equipment, you got sheds and things like that, you can't just think about the house. You can't think about life insurance, health insurance. Yeah, those are big, but you got to remember your outbuildings. Remember when the winds came through in June and we lost all those bins and all that sheds? Well, now you take a look at what those landscapes look like and you see a lot of people that probably didn't have as much insurance coverage as they needed to. That outbuilding that you might only have a few bucks of coverage on might be a couple hundred grand to actually replace that. So maybe you don't need that entire amount of coverage, but you need enough. And that's where DJ Coulter and the American Family Insurance team comes in. They know exactly what questions to ask, and they won't try to sell you more than you need, but you've got to be protected. DJ Coulter, American Family, 701-235-6641. It was an idea brought up by Ron DeSantis in March to the Florida legislature, and the lawmakers approved. And so now Florida is set to have a Second Amendment sales tax holiday from September 8th to December 31st. During this time, state sales tax will be waived on purchases of firearms, ammunition, and related accessories, including bows and crossbones. Bows. The tax holiday is part of Governor DeSantis' proposed budget, aims to provide savings for Floridians exercising their Second Amendment rights. And he's pretty excited about it.
An amendment tax holiday. So from September 8th to December 31st, all firearms, munitions, accoutrements, as well as things like bow and arrows are tax-free. So that's going to save some of our folks a lot of money to be able to have that. So we're delivering there. Now, on back to school tax.
Okay, so there you go. And then you can talk about back to school there. But the savings for Floridians could amount to as much as $8 million of tax savings. Florida for the win once again. All right, my friend, that'll do it for the Steve Holmstrom Show on this Monday afternoon. Thanks a lot for being with me here today. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk cars and trucks with Ward Cater from Vision Ford and Vision Lincoln in Wahpeton. That and more tomorrow on the program. Have a great night and keep on flying that flag.